And we're live. Okay, so it looks like the sound is not coming through. Is anybody hearing sound from Aaron? No sound. Here, Aaron, talk, and I'll just do your voice. Hey, everybody, and my name is Aaron, and I'm here to have fun with all of you He-Man fans out there. And look over here at my, I'm pointing to a waffle right there. Okay, so what do we do? What are we going to do? Are we just going to shut it down and try again? What are you guys out there thinking? Going to reboot. He's going to reboot. Okay. We're going to take the focus off of him so that he can reboot. Let me just turn this on. Hey, guys! And welcome to the Waffle Mafia Podcast, Episode 5. Aaron's sound isn't working. I don't know why. My name is Dirt. I'm the producer here. I do the work here to make sure the shows run, and they're not running. Waffle Mafia Podcast, Fans of Power, Masters of the Galaxy. I'm basically in this little control booth, hiding here, trying to take care of all this stuff. Trying to get things working. Aaron, just so you know, I do have you still wired in, so go ahead and try whatever if you can to get sound, and once I hear you, I can go ahead and flip back over. But as of yet, I see you have the headset on, but I'm still not hearing anything. So guys, he's going to try to reboot some things, plug some things in, unplug some things. That's just the nature of the beast here. If we have to, yeah, maybe we can go live on Facebook and we'll just do it there, and maybe I can steal the audio off of there and throw it into an MP3 podcast. You know, at the moment, he's going to have to reboot and that stuff. So I'm just trying to see what I got around here. I'll just say I had a birthday recently, and I got some stuff. I got some neat stuff. It's even Master's stuff, if I can find it. I'll show you. I was able to get the reaction figures for He-Man and Skeletor. And I also got the reaction of the battle armor. So these are, I love these reaction figures. I love these 3¾-inch figures. I loved, you know, growing up with Secret Wars and DC Superpowers and all of those type figures. So honestly, my plan was, I love Disco Skeletor and all the disco stuff. I usually get variants. Joe Amato is working on a custom intergalactic Skeletor that he's turning into disco. Several years ago, Pixel Dan made me a vintage Disco Skeletor. If you've been following Pop Culture Network at all, intern Rick made me a custom battle armor disco faker with the colors. I even have a Jason here. A reaction Jason that was done in Disco Skeletor colors. So my original thought was I was just going to take these and have them done as disco. But then I started looking at these figures, and these are just too cool. Like I'm going to have to buy, like I'm going to have to find some more of these somewhere of Skeletors just to have them done into disco. But I didn't want to you know, to necessarily have these painted because I like these the way they are. And I got the He-Mans to go with them. I was telling people how much I liked them. And so a couple people chipped in and got these for me for my birthday. And I really love these things. I love the look of these things. I think Super 7 is doing some fantastic stuff. And it's also one of those things now where it's like, as much as I like these figures, it's like now I got to track down the rest. You know what I mean? Because, you know, all of the other ones that I've seen, what is it, Beastman, Triclops. There's another wave. There's a wave in between, right? Because the regular ones were wave one and the battle armors were wave three, I think. So there was another wave in the middle somewhere. So I've got to try to track all those down. I also have sitting right here possess Skeletor, which I wanted to do a disco on this one, but then I look at him and so much of him is just covered in the ribbons that it's really not going to work that well. So I'm just going to keep this one as is. Although I will open the package. I'm not going to leave him in the package forever. I am going to take him out, but I've got to do some cleaning. If you look at these shelves back here, I've got so much stuff loaded up on there that I'm going to have to rearrange some things and move some things in order to have a good spot for him. But if you guys look, you can see there's a Castle Grayskull right there. And there's Multibot right there. Modulok is right back in there. There's a Triclops hiding somewhere. And then there's a bunch actually on top of Castle Grayskull that you can't see in the camera feed at the moment. So I do have those. But I love the 5.5. That was honestly, as the 5.5 stuff is coming back into vogue, I love getting that stuff. I've had these for a while, Realm of the Underworld. I don't know if you guys have been following these, but these are some fantastic figures too. And I have a whole mess of these, buried back here in all my stuff. I love these figures. These are fantastic. And again, these are in the that classic Masters of the Universe 5.5 style. So more of these are coming along the way. And what else? I'm trying to think. Oh, and these guys. I ran into these recently. These bootleg Sun Gold. I don't know if you guys have seen these Sun Gold wrestlers. This is Paul Orndorff with a mustache, which I don't remember him having a mustache back in those days. And then there's this bootleg Hulk Hogan done in that same style. I just love the look and feel of these figures. These are definitely a lot cheaper made or more cheaply made than the Masters of the Universe vintage figures. The midsections, you can kind of see they pull apart. It's just a little, they pop in and out. If you take a hairdryer and kind of warm them up, you can pop them right out. And Aaron's here. I think I can hear you now.
Hey, what's happening, Captain?
Ah, there he is, everybody.
There we go. All right, we're on.
I can stop wasting time talking about all my random bootlegs and my my reaction figures and all that stuff. I can just hand the show back over to you. Thanks for watching, everybody. It was nice to meet you. I'm producer.
Hey, guys.
See you next time.
Graylin came to hang out. Thanks, Dirt, for taking care of things while we were getting things going. Hey, bud, you going to be a part of the podcast tonight? All right. Graylin's going back over with Mommy, and we'll finally get this thing underway. I'm sorry, guys. Sorry that just went absolutely sideways. I appreciate you guys hanging in and getting through it. So we get through it together. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. So now, welcome to the Waffle Mafia podcast, number 5. So thank you so much, Dirt, for hanging with it while we got through the thing. I don't know. Typically when I talk to you guys, I don't use the headset. So I don't know if something just went crazy because we were on the headset or what the deal was, but much better than last week because we're not like on some psychedelic acid trip. So that's always a plus. Yeah, man, get the A hat for AA Ron. You know, we're a macho man in rock, Mr. Cristobal Dávila. I do believe that is. Guys, I've been writing down the names. I've got everybody. So everybody that's popped in the chat, I appreciate you guys jumping in and us doing this podcast thing. So, much like last week, you guys know how we're doing it. Spotlighting a character, talking about a character, and then that individual seems to make his way to Waffle. So we're going to follow that same format for everybody that jumps in the chat and says, hey, says something to me. Hey, man, I hate you. I hate hearing your hillbilly voice. Whatever it may be, we're going to get you in on a little thing for free. So most of you guys know what that is, and I appreciate you guys jumping in and being a part of this thing and growing this thing. So Waffle Mafia podcast number 5, Dirt kept us underway tonight. Of course, as you saw from the promo, we're going to talk about He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe, the man, He-Man, number one, the original dude, the guy who started it all. Yeah, man, if he was in the Mafia, brother, he would definitely be the Don. So, oh, He-Man, we're going to talk about him for just a second. Now, we will do our waffle recap for the week and talk about our week in waffles and how things went down in the Mafia this week and what all went on. So I appreciate you guys. Hey, thank you, Javier. I appreciate that. These things just keep growing. There's more and more tattoos, and I love them. I got another, not too much longer. I've got another thing set up to go get some more done. So appreciate that, man. So let me get down a couple more names. I think I've almost got everybody. Captain Chronic, got a little pause with calls. Who is Captain Chronic hiding behind these names? I know none of these names on YouTube, man. I only know the names I gave you. So I don't know who you are, but it's all good, man. I'm figuring it out. We got Crystal Ball in there. What up, my brother? And, of course, shout out to the other folks in the room. I got Wiley Cat, got old Stevie Alphabet in the room, Sammy Mack, got Grim Ass Dragon. We got Dougie Fresh, Old Dutch, Coronado. We got some crazy IXOYE. Hey, man, thanks for hanging out. I don't know who you are, but cool for hanging out. Appreciate that. We got E Daddy. Got Sarah Coronado is also in the room. That may be my boy Ian hanging out. And Aiden. I got you, man. And then we got Captain Coronado also, and of course Captain Chronic is now in the room. So Jason Dunn, Obi Dunn Kenobi, I now have you, sir, to write your name down as well. So we're going to do something a little special, foo. We got these old Masters of the Universe, these beautiful Toon Tumblers. Hey, man. They are fresh and pinty. So we'll do a pint in honor of the man with all the might. So cheers, and here we go. It's the Waffle Mafia Podcast, yo. Salute. I bet the audio on that was amazing. So with that said, we took one to the head. So here is what we do. We're going to talk about that recap, dude. So earlier this week, of course, you guys who joined me last week, we were on acid, bro. For whatever reason, man, logged into the iPad. I've used it before. We've never had this issue. When we're doing the Masters of the Galaxy podcast, I thought, hell, be no problem. And of course, you guys saw what happened. We were all on acid. So it was pretty much that kind of week. I thought our troubles were going to continue, but dirt pulled us out of the mud there and got us going. So once again, thanks for hanging in. Thanks for sitting through it and always bearing with our technical difficulties and dealing with me. So I appreciate that, guys. So Thirsty Thursday this past week, we did the Faker. We did the Ultimate Faker. So obviously we on Wednesday night for the podcast, we talked about Faker. We talked about his origins and the things, some things about Faker and some discussion about him somewhat with what was going on in the group. And what up, Bone? A macho man is Bone. Oh, I got you. Yeah, man. Sorry, dude. It's been a Bristol week, man. Truthfully, God, almost died this weekend, but we made it. So I don't know. You reach an age where, first of all, I shouldn't be let off the leash. And second of all, especially unsupervised. So it's been that kind of week. But hey, man. So Thirsty Thursday, before all that madness went down, we got in Thirsty Thursday. We talked about Faker and we did Ultimate Faker. Oh, Goosey Goose won that one. That was David Schuler. He's got his – that was a big win for Goose. He's very excited. He's got a young fellow named Ethan Schuler that is his son, and Ethan is super excited about Masters and getting into Masters, so Schuler was very excited. Also got – did a Classics Faker. Oh, Jakey B took that home. Did a Classics Hiss, and Aiden, my friend, I know where that is headed, so that is going to you. So, Mr. Young Mr. Coronado, appreciate Sarah jumping in there to play for you, bud. We had another magazine cover went to old Jakey B. Jakey B just been tearing it up lately. Did a doubler, did a road ripper with He-Man, and that went to Goose also. So David Schuler had a big night. Jakey B had a big night. Gave away some He-Man, the Mega Constructs. We did those. He-Man went to Peter Savera. Skeletor Mega Constructs, that goes to the Big Show. And then Grimm was really cool to send out one of those He-Man erasers. Or actually, Grimm won the He-Man eraser that's being sent out by Mr. Wildcat, I do believe, if my cells are still functioning somewhat. Is that correct, Wildcat? That is correct that you did this one wonderful giveaway for these beautiful, beautiful erasers. I mean, they're glorious. I don't know if you guys saw those, but I actually had those or had one of those when I was a kid, but very cool piece of old school stuff. And so that's going out to Mr. Dragon. We did a waffle sticker. A white one went out to old LC, and a Despair comic as well out to Mr. Coronado. So that was the rundown on Thirsty Thursday. And then, of course, because of the Bristol race, my liver could definitely not show up for a waffle that night. So we were over at Bristol doing that thing, and it was a lot of fun, man. It was cool to see Dale Jr. go out at least last race at Bristol. Sucked, and I hate Kyle Busch, and don't even get me on that, because this is not the NASCAR podcast. I just get, but anyway, he would be an evil warrior if he was one. Makeup Monday. So we came back, we did Makeup Monday, just the other day. So gave away that glorious Ultimate Skeletor. And of course I wanted to keep Skeletor to talk to you guys during the podcast about Skeletor and do the Ultimates thing again. However, everybody jumped in. We did the Makeup Monday. We did Skeletor. And old Jesse Perkins kind of scooting around there. He only jumps in every once in a while, but it seems like every time Perkins is in, he's getting a win. So, oh, he would definitely be a Horde henchman, E-Daddy. I agree with that entirely. Let's have just a little pause for the calls before we run this sucker down, y'all. And we got Hoyto Rico over at La Wheel. So appreciate you jumping in, my brother. That's my Mr. IXOYE, IXOYE. No, you are, man. So the rest of Makeup Monday, we had Fang Man, went to Artemis Prime. Drag Store, Mr. Severa, he got him another win. The Mega Constructs, we did the double up on that, where I sent out both this time, He-Man and Skeletor, both those going to Matthew Dutch, Mr. Dutchy, Past Dutch on the left-hand side. Yep, Miss Mafia Sticker went out to the Big Show, Ito. Of course, I always prepare a little box for the show, because when things go to Canada, for some reason, they seem to be a little expensive, so saved a little bit of cash by piling things up for the show, and he normally gets a pretty good size box when it goes to him. And then Forging a New Destiny, one of the cool comics, part of the 2012 continuation line of comics, Mr. Scotty Guns. So that was the weekly waffle wrap up, you wascally wabbits. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Yeah. So wait, I won. I love it when people do that. Oh man, what do you need my address for? I won? Hell yeah, you can have my address. So yeah, Dutch, you won the new Mega Constructs He-Man, the small 22 piece little Walmart special deals, the knockoff Lego, whatever you want to call it. So you won that, and you got the He-Man and the Skeletor. So I'm going to send that out to you too, man. Dutch, send me the address for the puzzle. That is who had the puzzle. Thank you, Alphabet. Alphabet, you have no idea, man. Like I said, when I talk to you guys late at night, or if you, I don't know if you guys notice, but I'm always online. And the reason being, and sometimes I miss your messages, not that I'm not saying anything back. I actually I am an insomniac, so I very rarely can sleep. I sleep in little pockets of time, so I'm always popping in. And then when you guys say something to me, it's like 3 a.m., and the dogs are outside, and I'm walking around the yard. I respond to you, and then I realize that I don't remember a thing that I said, and I have to go back and I go digging through messages. So Dutchie messaged me, and we were trying to figure out who had done the puzzle. I had it narrowed down to three people. So Alphabet, you were next. You were actually last on my list to scroll down and figure out who did that. But man, thank you so much for doing that. And that's cool that we connected that on the podcast. So I appreciate that. So very cool. Oh yes, Mr. Wiley Cat, we got them 3x3s, baby. The 3x3 stickers come in this week from Mr. Wiley Cat. For some of you guys that missed the waffle this week, didn't see these, but oh man, the big ones. Absolutely glorious. They are beautiful. I love them. But these bad boys right here, this is kind of more where it's at. We're sliding a little bit under the radar. They're small. They never see us coming. And then we pack a big punch, man. Dripping with syrup, tons of it. So there it is. Got those small stickers. And, man, I love them. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you doing that, Wiley Cat. And really, guys, it's a pat on Wiley Cat's back because he has – asked for no payment, no nothing. He wanted to do this for the group, and he wanted to do that for you guys. And so every time we give one of those out, that's courtesy of Mr. Wiley Cat and Adam Wiles. I appreciate you doing that, man. So yeah, dude, this size of the sticker, it is, for whatever reason, it just looks so good with this logo being this size. Not that the other doesn't, it's just this one is much cooler, so I really dig that. Appreciate it, Wiley Cat, and you doing that, man. Big hats off to you. What up, Foster? Got Foster in the room, man. So that's our little rundown. I really don't know where we're going to be on this whole 30-minute time thing because I don't even know where we started at. So I know the wifey came in to check on me, I think maybe 8:36, because we were trying to get things going and still hadn't got it going. So I think maybe we're about 10 minutes in, and maybe we're getting kind of that halfway point where we'll switch over and talk about what we got going on and, you know, the whole reason that we're really here. So, of course, love of Masters, that's why we're here. And with that love for all of us guys, you can just never deny the fact that this man started it all. So He-Man, number one man, we're going to celebrate him. Yes, they are vinyl cut stickers. They're very cool. So we are going to talk about him and talk about some of the different things that He-Man's been through over the ages and how he's kind of went on different adventures with us and done different things and different iterations of who he is. He-Man, much like many of the other characters, obviously the first character, but much like the other characters that we've talked about, presented in lots of different ways, different abilities, different things that he could do in different pieces of lore. So one of the things, if you guys haven't gotten this book, one of the things that this book does oh so well is it kind of covers any time those folks have popped up. So if we see, get that beautiful Earl Norum artwork there, but any time that we see a character in any represented in any piece of MOTU lore, it is actually added to this book, or it's in this book. So it covers a lot of those things. It tells you pretty much what all is going down. So, it always starts off with titles and what they are titled. So He-Man, most powerful man in the universe, master of eternity. So very interesting that they did add that he is the master of eternity. And then we also have champion of Eternia. So in the many different ways that He-Man has been presented, those are some of the titles that he has. His weaponry, sword of power, battle axe, shield, one half of the Sword of Power. So it's very interesting when we go back to the origins and where things actually started, and we look at where this came from. Oh, we can waffle that book, dude. I'm not scared to waffle one of these books. We will do that. I have no issue with it whatsoever because I think it's great to share the artwork, share the knowledge, and share the love. It's why we do what we do. We talk about these kind of things because this book, I mean, is just an absolute wealth of information. I have been reading on it forever. I go back and it's kind of interesting because it is characters and it is broke out by each individual character that has ever been in anything. So if you start on one corner and you head to the other, I mean, it's like the Bible, folks. I mean, it is the MOTU version. There is a lot you are going to read. It is not necessarily set up to read in that way. So a lot of crazy things going on with that, but you can do it. You can go from cover to cover. That's what I'm working on. So just popping up that, buffing up that MOTU knowledge as much as we possibly can. But that's been really, guys, one of the biggest things about this group that I've enjoyed so much and about the Mafia. Little pause for the calls for my personalized mug. Last winter, I had a beard and sunglasses. I always wear sunglasses because if you guys can't tell, I'm just literally my eyes, any type of light whatsoever, I cannot see a thing. So I wear sunglasses 90% of the time just because I can't freaking see. But last winter, a friend of mine thought that it would be the greatest to capture my face on a mug and give it to me as a Christmas present. So very cool present. I will pause for the calls with all of y'all's and see if we can't keep the microphone out of the beer, huh? Maybe that's what actually happened to this thing before we ever got started. So what we want to go back to, if we go all the way back to the original origins of He-Man, and some people know this, some people don't. So for some of you, I know I'm spitting stuff that you already know. You've read the minis. You know that stuff's out there. You probably know more about it than me. And the truth is, a lot of you do. And that's why being a group and loving each other and sharing our love for this thing, we all grow exponentially by sharing the knowledge and sharing the love with each other. And we can pass that on to the younger generations of folks that are coming up as Masters fans. So with that said, kind of my introduction to He-Man and the way that He-Man was introduced to me, and really the way that I perceived him first as a child, was through the minis. And of course, told the story many times, my grandfather, picked He-Man up for me. When I got to go visit with him, I would have one. And of course, this was one of the first ones. So we have some beautiful artwork by Alcala, of course, beautiful. We see a much more savage He-Man. We have a much more demonic, I don't know, just much more savage looking Skeletor, Beast Man, the Red Beast Man. So the way that things were portrayed in the beginning, we see Man at Arms with his green skin. We see He-Man with the boot knife. So there are all these things that were, as this thing was presented and the way that these characters were presented to us as a child, that really got into your imagination and made you really think about this fortress of great mystery and power and who this man is that is the strongest man. And he's got to go up against this demon, and they're both looking for halves of the power sword. So one of the most interesting things that I wanted to share with you about the origins of He-Man, if you guys don't know, Alphabet, I agree with you, dude. I believe that this He-Man is my He-Man. You know, he's got the battle axe. He's got the shield. He's got the boot knife in case things get dodgy. You never know when you might need to step in, pull that boot knife and shank Red Beast Man in the neck. But, you know, either way, I of course, love all iterations of He-Man. But this particular one for me at the time, you know, probably 4 or 5 years old, I think maybe four, I was just really getting into reading and really didn't understand a lot of what I was reading, I think, at the time. But the pictures obviously allowed us to use our imagination and talk about things. So you see He-Man on the back there holding the axe, most powerful man in the universe. Just even the way the arms are portrayed, the way that Skeletor's arms are down, and he has sort of the long fingers, and Beastman the same way, the elongated torso, the arms are much longer, shorter legs. Man-at-Arms even looks very, you know, very tough. It looks very much like a man to do battle. But so all of these cool things that we got when we were kids. And did Skeletor take He-Man's sword on that cover? Yes, Coronado. In fact, it's not so much that he has He-Man's sword, I think. I think in this particular portrayal, it kind of is supposed to be maybe his energy blade. It's definitely the Alcala style of drawing the sword, but we are also getting into the storyline that covers the halves of the power sword. And so that to me was always very interesting. And I thought it was cool that we gave He-Man an axe because there was another artifact. There was something else out there that they were working to get to. And so they were hunting the two halves of the power sword in order to reunite the two halves of the power sword and open Grayskull. And that opened the jaw bridge of Grayskull. And of course, once inside, the mysteries and the power of the universe could be yours. And so one of the coolest things that I really, again, I don't know that I agree with the name Ular, but, or Olar, however you get Olar. So whoever, however, whatever. Of course we have Ular, and so that is where that character actually came from, guys. So it's cool that in the very opening sequence there, the very first thing that we see, opening sequence, we're not watching a movie. It's a movie in my mind. But in the opening panel here with He-Man, yes, he is a very savage, very huge man. So I thought it very awesome that Classics came back and did this figure, gave us the actual feet, gave us the loincloth. And of course, it very much ties into who he becomes and who he is. So, you know, He-Man in the mini, got his spear there, you know, got to tell his folks goodbye. We'll see you cats when we see you. You know, we'll see you. Wouldn't want to be you. He-Man's got, now he's heard about the legendary Castle Grayskull, and he's heard about some of the things that there is some evil in the land and these evil forces that exist on Eternia, and that he needs to go out and save his people, or at least prevent this danger from spreading throughout Eternia so that his people are safe. And so in the very beginning of the minis, one of the coolest thing here, Skelly has the power sword. The goddess takes it from him and splits it in two. Thank you, Dagon. I'm about to get to the end of it, I think, where we can see that. So I'm going to skip through the book, cause I think it's not necessarily super important, to see the whole thing, but just more or less the idea of who He-Man is and what he's doing. Obviously here, very much savage, much more savage. This is where we got the goddess. So the green goddess is here. He-Man sees her. We also see a depiction of He-Man actually snapping the jaw of the creature. So it's kind of cool that in this particular telling of He-Man's powers and who he is, and this is just his bare might, guys. He's doing nothing more than just cracking this jaw, because that's what it is, y'all. And so as he does that, she realizes that he is the champion that prophecy foretold. Obviously the spirit of Castle Grayskull knows that He-Man is the one, but very cool if you guys pay attention to this and kind of read along there. But if you look, we have a sword here that actually comes with Ular, I believe. And then that is sort of He-Man with the Alcala hair. Of course, the goddess comes with all of these pieces. So she gives you the pieces, the force field, the suit, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there are actually two power harnesses. And in this early telling, the power harnesses, there were one that created a force field that protected He-Man. And then there was also a super strength suit. So He-Man actually had two different power harnesses that he wore here. Now, obviously, in this telling, we didn't have Prince Adam, so there is no Adam, only He-Man. Your boy DJ, thanks for the sub. Hey, guys, appreciate that. Your boy DJ, what's going on, buddy? So here it is. We're telling the tale of the two halves of this of the Power Sword and how they were separated. Skeletor wants to use them to reopen a dimensional portal so that others of his kind can step through. A lot of debate on that. I always thought this scene was kind of interesting because the back of this looks very different than what we're used to. So I don't know. I just always thought it was cool. And I always thought it was really friggin' awesome that Blonde Tila is carrying a battle axe right there. So she's also doing battle with everybody. So there we got Spirit of Grayskull rising up. Obviously, Spirit of Grayskull knows that He-Man is the champion of which they're waiting, but he doesn't reveal that to He-Man. So in the early, why did the Spirit of Grayskull stop showing up in the later stuff? Wile E. Cat, I think a lot of that had to do with the idea, and that's kind of what we're driving into, so it's a good thing that you said that. The idea, of course, being that He-Man is the champion who was foretold of, but these mystical, he already had the brute strength. He already had the power. He's the most savage. He's the best of his tribesmen. He's the strongest. He's the fastest. But despite his ridiculous strength, the ancient artifacts, and it kind of adds into the Eternian might and magic and science part of Eternia, but these things were created to aid the one who would be prophesied of. So these were passed down to him. And I think we started out with Spirit of Grayskull sort of watching over things and kind of knowing that, you know, he was the spirit in the castle, and the Green Goddess obviously wasn't. She was out in the woods and out in the world of Eternia doing her thing. So the spirit resided within the castle. And then as we moved on and got into the Filmation canon, of course, Prince Adam came along and we had to have a way for He-Man to draw on the power, and he drew on the power of the castle. So at that point, I don't think Spirit of Grayskull was necessarily needed. Of course, it's retouched and revisited and revamped much later on when we get in the MYP series and it becomes Spirit of Grayskull because it's Devon Grayskull. But either way, in the beginning, the early beginnings of He-Man and number one, Mr. He-Man, what we had was simply an ancient fortress of mystery and might that nobody really knew anything about. Everyone would like to get inside. You can't get inside without the two halves of the Power Sword. So that's where our quest began. In the beginning, He-Man, much more savage, used the axe. He was obviously snapped a creature's jaw in order to help the goddess. So, yeah, man, the spirit was in one Filmation episode. Hey, that's pretty cool, Dutchie. I didn't know that. I actually would have to look that up. That's pretty cool. Or I would like to look that up because that's pretty sweet. I didn't know that they featured that. So, yeah, man, that is hello, daddy's friends. Lightning Bolt Libby Cupcake. BL, what's going on there? We're gonna get you in there too. Get your
name. That's my daughter, Libby.
Hey, what's up, Libby?
What are you doing?
Hello, hey, Libby, this is not an age appropriate podcast. Get in the bed, girl. That's a little pause for the cause, just because for Libby, y'all. So Libby's in there. Well, guess what? Now Dirt, Libby's on the wheel. So,
hey, if she wins anything, she's under 18, so I get to keep it, right?
Correct. Yeah. No. I mean,
yeah, that's okay. Then good. Yeah.
Is exactly what's been happening with Aiden Coronado. Just due to age restrictions, Aiden's not been able to receive any kind of gifts. However, yeah, man. I mean, you might have to fight her for it because this one's pretty sweet, but I'm sure you could probably work out some kind of deal. So Dirt's daughter, I love it. Hey, what's up, daddy's friends? So in 82 mini comics, the whole run of mini comics, guys, He-Man much more savage. as the mini comics progressed, after the minis, we actually had a DC run, and we had the DC Motu mini comics. He-Man was portrayed in a much different way. He was very headstrong. He was very, what is the word they use there? Impatient. So He-Man kind of charging into battle, charging into things a little differently than he does. He has a fight with Superman in that series. You guys check that out. The Motu animated series, Filmation, obviously, 83, that is when we get into a little bit of a different telling of He-Man, and that's when Prince Adam then comes along, and we get this white-shirted beast that, that came with the purple tights. I'm not going to lie, guys. When I went to Maloney's, it was Maloney's back in the day, when I went to Maloney's and went in, and they had Adam, and I think at the time they had Randor and Scareglow. Sorceress was also out on the pegs. Those were some of the folks that were, I think, prominent out front. And at the time, I did watch Filmation, but I don't know. It was just so odd to go in and see this figure and see that it was He-Man, but he was in his Prince Adam getup, and he had his little purple vest and whatnot. So I crushed Velvet. You know, only the best for Adam, only the best Crush Velvet. So I thought it was odd as a kid when I came in there and I saw that, and I had to have it, you know, because it was so cool that it was He-Man in his disguise. So Adam, obviously that identity got picked up, and of course we were then able to make the transition from Cringer to Battle Cat. But in the early tellings, you know, obviously He-Man didn't have Battle Cat, but in some of the early mags he did. So they did play it off of Cringer also. That was happening in 83 in the Golden Motu books. It was also happening in 84 in some of the German audio plays. In the German audio plays, it was kind of crazy because that followed along the storyline with New Adventures, which is weird that 84 depicts that, but it says Adam's dual identity as He-Man was revealed to Skeletor aboard the starship Eternia. So interesting that the Motu audio plays also went in that direction. In 86 we had Marvel Star Comics. In 86 we had the newspaper strips. So the newspaper strips is also another book that you can get by Dark Horse. If you guys don't know that that's out there, give me just a second. Let me grab it. We also have the newspaper comic strips. So that particular book also following He-Man and Skeletor, and it does follow them in New Adventures. But the interesting thing about following He-Man into the future, when you are in a UK newspaper strip, is you don't change clothes. You're going to wear the same power harness, the same cordite harness that you got. Okay, bro, you come to the party with the people you came with. So He-Man never actually changes into the futuristic He-Man in that one. So kind of interesting stuff on that. DSM, hey, what's up, buddy? Thanks for jumping in here, man. Appreciate you getting in there too, dude. So cool thing too, as it moved on, 86, we were still carrying out some comics. So for you guys that don't know, all of you guys know, you're all my friends. But for anybody you're part of the mafia, man, you know, you've heard me get drunk and tell you this. The artwork is all I have. I mean, it just captivates my attention. And that's why the early minis were so important to me as a kid, because it was that artwork, that imaginative stuff, the absolutely beautiful stuff there. So what was happening is, as the line was ending, and the story of He-Man Filmation wise, we were getting towards the end of the line, obviously it was getting on towards 87 when things took a little different twist, and we came to Earth and we did all that good stuff. But all the while over in the UK, this other stuff's going on. So there are annuals, there are comics, there are magazines. So that stuff is available online, guys. You can find it. A very cool place to check that out. And I give a shout out to one of our mafia members, James Manning at King He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Check that page out on Facebook, because he actually has tons upon tons of things that you could read there. legal or not. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we're infringing on something, I think, anytime we talk about He-Man. But very cool page from Mr. Manning, Man Lore. I appreciate you doing that, dude. I love to go over there and read that stuff sometimes. So if you guys have a minute, check out King He-Man. Very cool page. So in 87, I hate non-alcoholic beer. Down with NA. It's... I think it's funny because Joe gets so upset about like NA. It's new adventures. I love it, Joe. I can't help but pick at you, man. I don't know. I have always said NA. And I guess that kind of is easier with MYP and all that stuff. But Joe gets a little bent. Speaking of, where's Joe? Joe knows the routine that we've been doing here as far as getting in on these freebies on these ultimates, and I thought for sure he'd be here tonight. So Dirt, have you got him like locked up somewhere or something?
Actually, Joe was here earlier in the chat. He said he had been out pulling weeds. And I thought for sure when he said pulling weeds, he meant pulling bong hits of weed. But
well, I mean,
you know, but
it's a different podcast.
I haven't, yeah. but yeah, no, Joe was here, so I mean, you got to.
Okay, so Amato was here. Yeah. We have been graced by the presence of Mr. Amato. I know the dirty rotten tomato Amato has.
Joe, I mean, Joe's the type of guy, he can just come in late, you know, he can leave early. He's got six different parties to go to in the same night.
Yeah, he comes in late, then leaves with the prettiest girl. Like early, what?
Yeah, well, it's usually the girl you came with, right?
Right, exactly. I've come home twice and Taylor's been gone, and it was during a Joe Amato podcast, so I'm almost certain he had something to do with it. Eternian magic, my friends.
It's something about that Modulok mask, I'm telling you.
I know it does. I know it did a lot for Larry Hubbard. I can tell you that. That Modulok mask, they got to make a bigger mask for that boy. So shout out to Larry. If you're listening or you're around, buddy, one damn big dude, but,
yeah, Larry, we're just joking about you. I mean, we're not saying anything bad about you whatsoever. Oh,
please don't I promise you I'm not saying anything bad about Larry. You know, Larry is the guy that the Horde would definitely want to make some sort of Horde machinery out of, because that cat can straight pull your arms and legs out of socket, just by looking at you. So Larry Hubbard, if you hear this later on, man, I like you, dude. I like you. Don't get it confused.
Actually, we need Larry and Tyler Baker to do some sort of like dress up as He-Man and do a weightlifting challenge.
No doubt. Tyler definitely has the He-Man look down. And as far as his attitude, I mean, it's about the same. You know, he's a good guy. He doesn't want to hurt anybody, but if he needs to step in and use some mighty will. And so, yeah, that's what we need. We need to get Tyler and Larry, Slime Pit Larry. We don't want that. You do not want a mindless Larry Hubbard roaming around with a Modulok mask on, dripping ooze from Slime Pit. We don't need that in any way, being controlled by Joe Amato. That's all we need. So, all right, guys, I'm going to try my best to speed through this thing. We're going to wrap it up and finish it up, and then we'll talk about a few more things and we'll be done with it. There's a plethora of information out there about He-Man. Obviously, being the central figure, he is super important to the entire thing. We'd have none of it without him. So it would make sense that some of the most extensive information as far as character-wise is on He-Man. But something interesting started happening, you know, about 87 as the line was ending. We got into the MOTU movie, obviously. We never got those figures. We're still hoping. But Dolph did He-Man. Dolph did a great job to me. I love that. The 87 film has grown on me so much over the years because it is such a cult. I don't know. It's a cult classic, man. And the truth is, if you look at that time and you look at that budget and you look at all of those things that were going on, and the technology of the time, we didn't have Eternian magic, guys. We couldn't just pull up some of this stuff, but, I think they did the best they could with what they had at the time, and obviously with budget constraints and the issues with filming and the production company issues, you know. So we got some new characters out of that, and it was a continuation of the line. It was odd to see He-Man. I just, for me personally, I know that we have a canon, we have a telling of He-Man where, or I mean, it's actually fairly well ingrained there. If you guys watch the movie, The Secret of the Sword, there's a little nod there, a little secret kind of thing, a nod to the American flag, and a lot of things that indicate He-Man's origins from Earth. And so He-Man, obviously, in this particular telling, being Earthling, who his mother, Marlena, then traveled and crash landed on Eternia, and then of course later on had He-Man, or had Adam. So that is also another story of He-Man that is very interesting. It's just another thing that we add to all those cool stories we have about He-Man, and no particular one is right. I love Alcala. I like the more savage stuff. I like the more barbaric He-Man. Some people are straight Filmation. They like Filmation He-Man. They like the way that he is, his virtue, the fact that he, you know, thought that he killed somebody, he was going to relinquish the power. So I think the one thing that stays true for He-Man over all of the different ways that he's presented is the fact that He-Man is good at heart, obviously, and that his full intentions are always to help and to always try to be the person who saves Eternia. As the 87 film ended, I really think there was a lot going on when a box springs fell over He-Man and he acted like a super heavy. That's funny. Lubick. You know, as that movie happened and as the line was ending, I honestly, and it's just my own personal opinion, you guys can think what you like. I think there's a lot of different reasons, but I just think that this is a factor. At the time, space was getting really hot again. Like, kids were wanting to go to space, and they wanted these rocket characters and these, you know, spaceships and these crazy stories of the things that were happening in outer space. And I really think that Masters tried to capitalize on that movement at the time and the things that were happening and said, you know, let's move into the future and move He-Man into space. And the truth is, guys, I mean, there's a lot of good story to that. There's a lot of interesting characters. There's a lot of cool things. Primus Denebria, or Denebrus, some very cool stuff there, but it was so different from the He-Man that we were used to that I think it turned a lot of kids off. And I know that it did me, because when I got the New Adventures He-Man, I actually was going to the store looking for He-Man, and I find this He-Man, and I don't really know who this is, and it really just doesn't resonate with me the way that this barbaric He-Man did. And even though, I mean, when you look at it, he's very cool. It's very cool that they redesigned him. He got a redesign, but that seems to happen a little more and more and more as it goes on. So we got outside of the animated series, the 90s animated series. That was very cool. When we got that animated series, it was very different. We have Bible School Adam with the long, like, Brady things, and I don't even know how that happened. But we said by the power of Eternia, that just didn't make any sense to me, because the power's from Grayskull, but the power of Grayskull got imbued into the ship, the SS Eternia, and by the power of Eternia. So we had that happen, and at that point we lost the Adam persona. He-Man reveals himself in front of Skeletor as he's changing, becomes He-Man, and it actually says in the mini, Adam is no more. Long live He-Man. So that's when we get this particular scene here where we get a long live He-Man. So that was different, but very cool. And then, of course, we moved into the MYP, moved into the Mike Young Productions when things were starting to get rebooted. They were trying to give He-Man another run, went back to the basics. And I think for the most part, man, MYP worked so well because they took the great savage things and some of the beastly things about the Alcala imagining of things, the drawings and some of those things. And they really did a great job of paying their respects to the original storyline and to the way things were going in the vintage. So it was a bit of a reimagining. Some of the characters were a bit different. It was really basically like everybody got amped up. So, Classics obviously has covered all of these all of these different pieces of the canon and come in and they gave us the Ular. They gave us this one of my favorites, my DC, a DC He-Man. So we've also gotten him too in Classics. Mine has kind of a wounded foot. He has the we've got some of the little rubber bands on his foot there. So gotta love you, DC He-Man. One that I would have to show you guys because I think this is just one of my greatest pieces ever. This one is Graylin's. He watches over this house. So a very cool kind of King He-Man with the cool boots and whatnot. So got a little Strato Center in him there. But very cool piece sent to me by my man Ruddy Rudd. And I appreciate you doing that, Graylin. Still very much he watches over the house, man. He watches over my kids. So this He-Man, very special, very important to me. Obviously we also had some different things back here ruling Grayskull. We have Battle Armor He-Man. Of course, this one's wearing he's got an Alcala head going on there because he's savage and he's got his axe. But so Classics really covered it, man. They touched, we got the original He-Man. That was the original number one run of Classics. We also got Battle Armor. So Battle Armor He-Man was in there. Got Thunder Punch, got Flying Fist. We got NA He-Man. We also got, of course, the DC variation that we were just looking at. We got Laser Light He-Man. So, and we got a King He-Man. So the King He-Man, that imagining actually came out of Eternity War, and we haven't really gotten to that part of it either because that was just a little bit later in the telling of He-Man. So as the Classics line was coming out and we were getting through the variations of He-Man and all the different ones that we had, we also had a comic line running at the same time. And that comic line was first He-Man and Masters of the Universe, which was a DC reboot in 2012. And then that further led into Eternity War. And Eternity War, for you guys that know me, you know that I'm a big fan of Eternity War just because I like it when things are shook up and retold just a little bit. I'm not saying we start making bios and just making up crazy stuff about everybody, but Adam Wiles, he's got his Sports Bro He-Man. That's Sports Bro He-Man's where it's at, dude. My kids want a new He-Man cartoon. I agree, man. Are you putting all those He guys on the wheels? LC, they will eventually. I mean, with those, I try to sprinkle those in, like, because those are ones that I hold very closely and I like to look at them. And then when I get a few Eternian loggers in me, I'm like, hey, what the hell? Bunch of people played tonight. Why not? Let's give away something crazy. So it always happens. I'll have a moment where I'll need to somehow transform Prince Adam into He-Man again and give away both. You never know, man. With Miller, all things are possible, especially with me. I'm a cheap date, bro. But so Eternity War was just super interesting to me, man, the way that they retold things. And now some of the redesign of the character as far as his outfit and some of the ways he looked, I'm not so super keen on that, but it was very smart. It was a very smart story, a very smart imagining of why he is the master of eternity. And that's super important to the telling of the story. So a very cool thing there. So there it is, guys. It's sort of a quick rundown of He-Man and just kind of moving through the years and the different things that we've had with him. So new to the Motu line, Battle Armor E-Daddy. I'm waiting on that flying something E-Daddy. But so guys, as you know, We've been doing the Ultimates, yo. So here is He-Man, most powerful man in the universe. This is the Ultimates. Oh, he is oh so beautiful. Got that axe, got that Alcala style head. We've got the Prince Adar. Actually, that is the just the classics head, kind of the red-eyed classic head. And then this more of a vintage throwback. Head that's on him there. You've got your faux mini comic cover in the back. If we can catch it, I think you can see it. He-Man Skeletor doing battle. And the name of it is The Power of Grayskull Reborn. So you can see that up under there. Beautiful artwork all the way around by Axel. Beautiful artwork on the back of Axel's artwork. So, dude, huge nod to you for the amount of love and attention that you put into things, especially when it has to do with stuff like this, that you give such a beautiful nod back to the stuff that is super important. So very cool, man. Very cool. And Super 7, I mean, I know that they really took a beating on some of the shipping things and some of the packaging things. But, guys, I just don't know that it gets more glorious than this. So, you know what we'll do tomorrow night? It will be Thirsty Thursday. I will be back with you guys. Just like we talked about from last week, like we talked about before, anybody that jumped into the chat here tonight said, what's up? And 8 balls. That would probably happen. We would probably empty the house. The Waffle Mafia podcast does not condone the use of drugs in any way, or alcohol, or sex or firearms in conjunction with drugs or alcohol. Like, sometimes. Okay, so tomorrow night we're gonna do this bad boy, and we're gonna give him away. And of course, I'm sure there'll be a few other things. We always, some folks like to show up for the syrup, and that's where it's at. So He-Man number one, Mr. Ultimates, oh so beautiful. We will talk to him tomorrow night. And again, everybody who jumped in tonight, got into the chat and said hey, you guys will have a free spot on the wheel. And then in the promo, we will talk about if you would like to get a couple more spots, you can do that. That's been working out really well. Like I told you guys before, I was not the fortunate guy who paid, you know, the $35 for these from Super 7. I paid a little bit extra through Big Bad Toy Store because I wanted to get some that looked nice. So, this one, very nice, turned out pretty cool. So this will go out to somebody tomorrow night, and that will be our ultimate He-Man for Thirsty Thursday. So with that said, E-Daddy, your Tila should be there tomorrow, I would imagine. LC, your stuff should be there tomorrow. I think we, pretty much everything has been sent out as far as what I owed anybody, because what I am trying to do is to get back to the way that we used to do it, where we did Thirsty Thursday, that stuff went out on Friday, we did Syrupy Saturday, that stuff went out on Monday, and then, you know, it was just much easier to keep up with it that way. It was a little more expensive for me, but I really don't care about that, because although it may look like I make some profit, I really don't, because we pretty much eat all that up in shipping and getting new stuff. So anytime you guys jump in and play, I appreciate that. And it's just the fun that we have with it. And I know over the course of the Waffle Mafia and us evolving into this thing, that there's been some haters, there's been some doubters and all that good stuff. But guys, I get you stuff to you. Shit, I'm happier than you when you win it. You have no idea. I just want you to have it. I want to know that part of the stuff that I love, that I had here, that meant a lot to me, got to you. So I love seeing kids enjoy it just as much as I love seeing adults enjoy it. And that is the big thrill for me in this thing. And I appreciate you guys letting me be that guy that has been able to do that. And so big nod always to the God Waffler for getting us off the ground. I think at the time, you know, you guys know who the pillars were, you know where we were at when we started. We just had a few folks, And then it just kind of, people kept defecting and defecting and defecting and coming to the Mafia. So, guys, we'll just keep growing it. I mean, WaffleCon's coming up, 2018, E-Daddy's all over that bad boy. And from what I've seen, we ain't doing nothing but getting stronger. So we've strengthened ourselves in the podcast. We've strengthened ourselves in our pages. We've strengthened ourselves with eBay. And, of course, check that out. I do believe that old Johnny Miz, Johnny Mystery, is going to possibly step over to the Masters of the Galaxy podcast to help Brian out with that. I've been having some scheduling conflicts the past couple of weeks. I apologize for that. But Johnny Miz is going to jump in there. We're going to talk about eBay and talk about what's going on there. So big shout out to my other family, the Masters of the Galaxy podcast, Mr. Brian Ozone and Andrew Kay, and of course Dirt. Very much appreciate what you do, and a big shout out to the Mafia and to the rest of you guys, because we wouldn't have any of this stuff if it wasn't for you guys. This stuff that's all around my house, that's a part of my life, that's on my car, that's you guys, and I rep that proudly. So I'm very pleased with what we've built so far, and we've still got a lot of stuff coming. So guys, I appreciate you all hanging out with me. Of course, Law Wheel is always a huge part of the Muffle Waffle, the Muffle Mafia. I do it every time. I love it. The Waffle Mafia. So Hoyto Rico, we love you, my brother from another mother. And of course, we just keep growing strong, guys. So Waffle Mafia for life. I love you guys. I appreciate y'all hanging out with me on the podcast. We'll talk about some more stuff next week. But until then, I'll see you guys tomorrow night for Thirsty Thursday. And about to put a hit out on the rest of this beer. And I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.